Good morning and welcome to Ask the Pastor on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us this morning. Hope you enjoyed the Bible study with Pastor Michael Walther. We wrapped up Acts chapter 21, but about halfway through Acts chapter 22. Interesting stuff, do you not agree? But here, welcome to your Friday edition. The weekend is upon us. Looking for something to do this weekend? Here, check this out. Spike TV is one of those cable television stations, Pastor Hauer. Do you know what Spike TV is offering right now?
I have no idea what's going on there.
Spike TV and Lloyd's of London is offering an astounding, as they say, $10 million prize for indisputable, irrefutable evidence of Bigfoot. So if you're not doing anything this weekend, you want to head out in the woods and see what we can come up with?
Well, I'm going to be in the woods because it's opening day of deer season. I'll keep a sharp eye. I'll take my cell phone, maybe catch a picture.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been in St. Louis?
I've been in St. Louis. I worked at the International Center for a few years, and then I've been 24 years at St. John Ellisville. So I've probably been in town 27 years or so, 28 maybe.
Remember back in the early 70s, remember Momo the Monster?
That was
Missouri's version of Sasquatch. So if you're out there in the woods, you need $10 million might be yours. Pastor Stephen Hauer, our guest this morning from St. John Lutheran Church in Ellisville, Missouri, maybe claiming that prize by Monday.
We do see black bear now, and we do see some mountain lions or cougars now up and down the Missouri River area and out in the Ozarks. So more and more wildlife than before. So.
Yeah, is that not amazing? Black bears are back in Missouri.
It's incredible.
I guess they're coming up from what, Arkansas, right?
They must be. I'm not sure.
No.
Yeah, they are seeing them now that they have these cameras that they set up on trees out in the woods, and they're motion activated, so they'll catch all kinds of wildlife they wouldn't normally have seen.
So what's going on out at St. John's Ellisville?
Just always a busy time. You know, we're getting ready, of course, for the upcoming holiday season and all that means. We're doing an original production this year called Silhouettes of Christmas, and it'll be an interesting depiction, an artistic depiction of the great gift of God in Christ Jesus. We're actually working with a dance company, and it'll all be behind scrim that we will project on, but also rear project of people who, you know, maybe on the program, I don't know, what's it called, something about America's Got Talent, I guess was the name of it. They did the silhouettes thing where they form images and then backlight them, and then they break out and you see that they're actual people. We're picking up on that. We're using a professional dance company that we've partnered with and tell the picture of Jesus, tell the story of Jesus in shadow that way, with also narration and speaking and music. It should be something.
When you consider, and just on a serious note here for a moment, when you consider I don't know how to put this, Pastor Howard, but I got to put it just quite simply. Since Tuesday's election, have you not noticed that there are many corners of the Christian church in the United States that are just losing their mind?
Yeah, I would agree with you about that, and it's always interesting to me. Even when you think we were just talking about Christmas, Christ was born into a Roman-occupied country. You know, so I don't know what you think about the election, whether you are excited or depressed about it, but I don't think that has a lot to do with our purpose as a Christian church in terms of preaching the gospel. And so many people equate America with Christianity, and they are not the same.
I don't know if the people I've seen complaining in the press would have been as concerned about the government canceling Christmas as they are about the outcome of the election.
Yeah, it's you know, it's okay that people have preferences, and it's okay that people exercise their, you know, American freedom to vote and even be passionate about it, even Christians. I don't mind that, but yet we also are asked and called to pray for those who are in power, knowing, you know, Romans 13, that God has allowed them to be in power and given to Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God, you know. Even in the Reformation, Luther understood that, the kingdom of the right hand, the kingdom of the left hand, and I just don't know why Christians feel that this is the end of the world, at least some right-wing, extreme Christians, fundamentalist people. I do think we have, in our heritage, in our Reformation history, we have a better balance about that. It's okay to have a preference, but we realize the gospel is all about Christian faith, and that that should be and ought to be taught in every kind of political arena. I mean, many of the apostles were martyred for their faith, and that spurred the gospel. So, it should not be so concerning for Christians as I sense it is.
Perhaps a good lesson from World War II England, keep calm and move forward?
Yeah, that's a pretty good approach as well. And, regardless of, Christ is in control. You know, there's an old gospel song way back in the day that says, I read the end of the book and we win, ultimately Christ reigns.
Well, I didn't wake up in a depressive state on Wednesday. Matter of fact, Tuesday night, I went home, made dinner for the family, watched a couple of programs, didn't watch any news, got up, and whatever was going to happen was going to happen. But I'm just remarkably surprised by folks that are supposed to have the same attitude you're describing here, Pastor Hauer, about, the end of the world not necessarily being a bad thing, that Christ coming back might actually be a good thing for us Christians. But now we've got, I've got a stack of stories here. 50, first off, 50.
I did hear, and it was kind of sad to hear a commentary where somebody did say, it was actually on one of the major news channels, and they said America is becoming more and more secular. Less people are attending church than ever before, and that bodes well for the Democratic Party, is what this person said. Now, that was just a personal opinion. I don't, you can't paint an entire party, a party based on that idea. But I think it's interesting that they think, moving away from Christianity bodes well for a political party or for a nation.
Yeah.
That we would become more secular and less under the control of people who are narrow-minded and people who allow the church to dictate their votes, and there's that mindset. And in a way, I thought, it's okay for the Christian church too, because we don't associate so much the American culture with Christianity, and I think our voice will be stronger by contrast, as opposed to thinking that America and Christianity are simultaneous things. They are not.
Yeah. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email's up and running, KFUO@KFUO.org. And really, what you're talking about, Pastor Howe, is why I wanted to bring a couple of these stories up here, because, these are this morning. This is 3 days after the election now. These are this morning's headlines, one from the Christian Post. Texas megachurch pastor says Obama will pave the way for the Antichrist. Robert Jeffress, if you remember, he got himself into a little bit of trouble because when he was backing Governor Perry out of Texas in the Republican primaries, he referred to Mormonism as a cult, and then as soon as Governor Perry was out of the race, suddenly he discovered Mitt Romney as a viable candidate.
Yeah.
It's got to be hard enough, let alone being a Lutheran pastor, but just being a pastor at all in this world, in this culture, when you got your brother pastors in the vocation doing this kind of stuff. This doesn't bring any good reputation to the church, does it?
It certainly does confuse people who listen to Christian radio and who get mixed up by scripture that's quoted out of context or strong personal opinions that are positioned or taught as though they are God's word. I mean, let's be like the Berean Christians. Let's go home every night and see if what they're teaching is in the Bible, instead of just, some Christian's opinion about, what the Bible says. Is it actually in the Bible? Is that said in the Bible? Certainly the Antichrist will come, and how he comes, irregardless, the Christian should be alert, and the signs of the end times, regardless of how they enter, should always be, he says, when you see these things coming, look up and rejoice, because your salvation draws near. It's not all bad, it's troublesome that anyone would be lost. I'm not dismissing that, but at the same time, Christians have a hope. We know that this is temporal. This is not eternal.
I don't know if you'd recognize the name Victoria Jackson. She was on Saturday Night Live, several years ago, and has sort of recrafted herself in an evangelical commentator form. And another one of these stories is that after the election, she apparently lost her mind on Twitter, talking about how she couldn't stop crying. America was dead. America died. The Democratic Party voted God out of the platform, and now they're in charge. And the other thing is, she also presents herself as having a Christian perspective on these things, and she says, "Thanks a lot, Christians, for not showing up. You disgust me." Wow, there's a positive Christian attitude for you.
Yeah, I don't see that anywhere representing the attitude that we should have about our elected officials or about the expression of our faith in any kind of condition, any kind of season of life, or any kind of political nation. You know, it doesn't only flourish in democracy. You know, there is an underground church that was planted by Hudson Taylor in China in the 1800s that still exists today. You know, and that's a communist nation where people yeah. can be put to death for such positions, and yet the church flourishes there. It may not be what we want, but still God's work can be done in those places. Let's not be discouraged. And yeah, in fact, sometimes it's those kinds of conditions that make for a stronger voice, not a weaker voice.
Yeah, now this particular story came off of the AP Wire, and this is interesting how it starts out. Victoria Jackson hasn't exactly been a beacon of rational political analysis. And then it goes on from there. But she says, for example, in the story, Jackson is the actress who proclaimed that she would have a baby if impregnated through rape, uncovered a secret underground group of Hollywood Republicans who were working for the cause, and she said gay marriage would make God mad. Well, let me tell you, Victoria, perhaps, but there's a lot more stuff we're doing that's already making God mad.
Yeah, and even though we are pro-life, I know you are, I certainly am, and I certainly teach that as true, I just think that when Christians say things in such a cynical, mean spirit without compassion or understanding of those people who don't have the same view of God or life, I don't think we do our cause or do the cause of God much good.
That's
by alienating people.
Bit, yeah.
And, you know, and we saw that. We saw even in Missouri here how, you know, Todd Akin, I don't disagree with his position. I certainly disagree with his medical advice, but I don't disagree with his position that all life is sacred. But how you express that as Christian people, we are told to be winsome. Add to our faith certain qualities, lest we be ineffective and unproductive, it says in Peter. And I didn't see those qualities evidenced in some of these Christian statements.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not just the United States. Here's a story out of all places, Nigeria, a place that's not suffering under a small amount of religious persecution. With them, I think, what, they tend to blow up a church a week in Nigeria right
yeah.
now. The fellow's name is Femi Fani Koyode. He's the former minister of aviation. So this is not some guy in a little village somewhere. He's a former government official. And his op-ed is headlined, Obama is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And this is Nigeria.
That's crazy.
Seems to me that we've lost sight of what... This, I think, is probably a good example. And you tell me, you're the theological authority here in the room. But Satan has got to be laughing at us. That we would attribute him with the collapse of the entire world for one election. That he is so powerful that there are Christians across the globe trembling because of one man's election.
Yeah, just be careful with that us stuff. You know, I find that every time that you're engaged in some kind of battle, there are people who are supposedly on your side that you wish were fighting for the enemy, you know. So it's not going to change my spirit. It's not going to change the effectiveness of God when people use his word in proper ways. And so even though we have nut cases in the Christian church, and we have to be honest about that, we certainly do. We have people who have always used the Bible for purposes other than promoting the gospel. But that doesn't mean that suddenly we've lost voice. It doesn't mean that we've suddenly lost our purpose or our mission or our effectiveness. You know, the Word of God does not return void. You know, it's just, you know, again, commit ourselves to faithfulness and expect that God will still do what God does with his word and not be upset if other Christian people do such silly things either.
Well, is part of praying for God's will the peace to be able to accept God's will when it comes, especially when it doesn't look like the way we want it to be?
And be careful about the use of God's will, too. I don't believe that everything happens in our world is God's will. You know, there's the devil, there's the world, there's my own sinful flesh that makes mistakes. And it's not God's will that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. That wasn't his will. But because of their sinfulness, that happened, and God still worked in that situation. But that was never his will for his people. So we suffer things that we bring on ourselves that are not God's will. God allows things to happen, which is not the same as God willing things to happen.
And sometimes we just do dumb stuff.
And we do. We do. I do. certainly.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. David, good morning. You're up first on this Friday edition of Ask the Pastor with Pastor Howard. Go ahead.
Hi, Roland. I do appreciate that you let me get on the air and say a few things. I'd like to take you to task a little bit of what you said a few minutes ago about one man being elected and millions of people tremble. You got to look back in history. One man was elected, or I would say two, Stalin and Hitler. Many people trembled. Many millions of people died. I'm not a prophet. I'm not predicting that for our country, but one man can't change the face of many nations. What I look at, though, is from Obama being reelected, already you can see the repercussion. Businesses, I heard on the radio today, are saying we're going to have layoffs. There's going to be this fiscal cliff coming up. If they can't take care of these taxes, everybody's taxes are going to increase. It's going to have a domino effect to where, as far as the economy goes, it's going to collapse here. And, you know, I hate to be pessimistic, but one man who is elected can do devastating things to a country. So, you know, looking at it from that perspective, I have to agree with what I hear from a lot of people saying that's going to happen. And I look at my country from when I grew up in, back in the early 60s, and sure, things weren't perfect, but things have massively changed. And people 45 and under voted for this man, and people my age and older voted for, I heard, Romney. Everybody wants everything free nowadays. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And half our country doesn't pay no federal income tax.
Well, David, I'd stop you on one point and say, when you say everybody wants everything that's free these days, there's one thing that's free they don't want. That's the grace of God.
Well, that's quite possibly true, you know. But as far as what I'm saying here, half of our population doesn't pay federal income tax. So how can you sustain Obamacare, welfare, immigrants? It's going to collapse. So,
well, David, my point is that that's not the purpose of the Christian church. You can have opinions about those things. Your opinions may exactly be right, and there may be Christians who support those positions. But we may have, as a nation, made a really bad choice or really bad decisions. I don't disagree that that may be absolutely true, but that is not the gospel. That is not the purpose of the church. And in any condition, no matter who reigns, the church has not lost its voice. It's not lost its power. We've not lost our purpose or our mission. I don't see how that changes us.
Well, here's what I also say is going to happen. Because of the economy, many churches will close down because their people will not be able to support their own families, let alone churches.
Churches, as America describes them, the church, the physical church, the building that you attend and the organization that you equate with true believers may be affected by that, but the church of God and the voice and the power of the scripture, nothing has changed. And it may be fashioned differently. You know, it was underground. They met in the catacombs of Rome, but the church hasn't lost its purpose, its mission, and if it's reconfigured, if it doesn't have buildings anymore, we may exist in a different form, but that doesn't change anything for me.
I think the church, in my humble opinion, is made up of very few people. The majority, I heard Roman Catholics, 52% voted for this man. Half the Roman Catholics, and even Protestants, so 97% of black Protestants voted for this man. Whatever makes up the church, I think, is very minuscule. I think most people in America are spoiled. We have been, by materialism. And partly, I blame churches for not being salt and light in this society in which we live. And we got what we had today. I blame partly on the churches for not doing what they should be doing. We're preaching Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer messages while the United States of America is going to hell in a handbasket. So
that's, painting with an awful broad brush, and that may be true in some situations. I think we talked about that earlier, that what passes for the gospel today is not the gospel. And,
right.
you know, if that is true, then, yeah, those churches are not serving God's purpose, and that's always been the case. But there will always be faithful churches. There will always be faithful pastors. There will always be faithful Christians. And this changes nothing for us.
Well, just when I get off the phone, maybe you can say something that might change my pessimism, but I just don't have much hope right now. But I do appreciate you let me calling in and saying this.
Well, David, you always add to the conversation. We appreciate the time.
Well, thank you so much.
Have a great week. Cheer up.
Cheer
up.
I try.
You know, Christ is risen.
I know that.
And the gates of hell are not going to prevail against this. Cheer up.
During the time of Hitler, you could tell somebody that, cheer up, Christ is risen, but they were taken to the ovens.
I don't disagree with you. And even at Kadesh Barnea, where they refused to believe that God could conquer the Holy Land, and they had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness, I mean, that was a sad thing. But God's will would not be thwarted, you know, as Job said, you know, at the end of his suffering. I know that your will not be thwarted, you know, that you will still reign. And this isn't what God wants for his people, to suffer or to be under the leadership of a man like Hitler, and how he forced the church through intimidation. But yet there were people, even then, who stood up and were counted. They were martyred, many of them, for the faith. But the voice, you know, Hitler is gone. The church remains, right?
That's true, yeah.
But if not, cheer up, have hope.
Yeah, I have hope in Christ. I sometimes wish we'd come back and get rid of all this down here, but...
that's sort of my point.
That we live in.
That's sort of my point in talking about all this, David, is that if these are the signs for which we are to watch, come, Lord Jesus. How does that get worse when he comes back? The church should be rejoicing if these are the signs for which we're to be waiting. Isn't that so, Pastor?
Well, at the same time, Jesus did predict that. He said, you know, had I delayed, even the elect would be lost.
Yeah.
So, you know, this idea that America or that the world is going to get better and better until Jesus comes, you know, James Dobson may be teaching that, you know, that we need to put the right Supreme Court in, you know, and that's going to make things better. But that's not what the Bible says. It says things are going to deteriorate. Things are going to get worse before the Lord comes. So this is really a sign of those things. You know, had I delayed, even the elect would be lost. You know, people's hearts will grow cold. You know, so this should not come as a surprise to Christians.
No, it's no surprise.
All right, David.
I'm saddened for the babies because...
Well, yeah, absolutely.
You're right. It doesn't make us happy to see, you know, greed and selfishness, you know, dominate the day. But that doesn't change our voice, and it doesn't change our purpose or our mission or our confidence that, you know, even if they, like Luther said, take they our goods, home, child, and wife, let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. You know, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gentlemen, I appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
Okay, David, God bless.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Mark, let's jump to you, Mark, and then we'll hold you over to the break. If we don't get the question in, go ahead.
Great. Roland, I'm calling in support of your view. I didn't lose sleep over who won the election. And I see the glass half full. Yes, the world is spiraling downward. We know that. And God will come when God's coming. In the meantime, we have one weapon, and it's not to try and apply the law to the world and make it a better behaved world that's going to hell. It's just to proclaim the gospel. And look at the wonderful things just with the internet. And KFUO it reaches out to all the world. I'll stop at that point.
You want me to hang? You want to hang on through the break?
Yeah, that's okay.
All right, not a problem. Pastor Stephen Howard is our guest this morning on Ask the Pastor. You can join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Try the email because the board is full. You may have to wait to get your calls in. We'll be right back after these few short announcements. Stick around. Good morning and welcome back to Ask the Pastor on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide KFUO. Pastor Stephen Hauer is our guest. He serves at St. John's Ellisville in Missouri here. And let's return to Mark. Mark, you still with us?
Yes, I sure am.
All right. Go ahead and finish your thoughts and we'll let Pastor Hauer get into this.
Yes, and I'll be very brief. I know you have a lot of callers. Just we should not just buy into the rhetoric of the extreme right or the extreme left. I mean, if you blindfolded me and didn't tell me who was in office and just read the headlines, I don't think most people would be able to tell who was in office. And we have some things have gone wrong, some things have gone great. We don't have slaves anymore. We respect people of all races and religions now. Women have equal opportunities. We were doing some horrible things during the Cold War that we're not doing now. So, yes, some things are bad, some things are good, but we should all work together toward improvement. And as Christians, we have great hope, and we have the gospel as our main way of changing the world. So that's all I have to say.
Pastor?
That's well said. You know, the mission and the message of the church does not change regardless of the circumstance in which we find ourselves. But as Mark said, some of the circumstances are better than the 1950s, and some are different and worse. And we do see materialism that has a grip on our nation today, and that hasn't changed in the last 4 years. You know, that's been a constant struggle of my church, and I think it's a struggle of anybody. In life as a Christian living in America, you know, how do you keep these things in balance, and how do you live out the faith in a world filled with temptations? And that will never change. But some things, as Mark said, have gotten better. Some things have gotten worse, but it's a constant fight. You know, it's a veil of tears until we're released to go back to the world that God originally designed. You know, paradise in the Garden of Eden, paradise in heaven, they're called the same thing. We lived for a time without sin. We will return to a life without sin. Until then, you know, do not be discouraged, Jesus said. You know, in this life you will have much struggle, but do not be alarmed. I have overcome the world.
Mark, thanks for the call this morning.
Thank you for all you do.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Before we go to James' call, Pastor Howard, do you think that a lot of these kind of comments come out of the fact that if you live in a world based on the theology of glory, you're always going to be worried about something, but when you're in the theology of the cross, things tend to make a little bit more sense as they occur in this world?
I'd have to unpack that or think about that a little bit. I don't know that everybody who is upset is, you know, proponents of the theology of glory, that if I live a faithful life, my life will always be better. You know, I think some people that are concerned about the events in the world don't believe that, and nevertheless are upset. But you're right. We need to maintain a gospel perspective. We need to be, you know, people of the cross. Jesus said, if this happens when the wood is green, how much more when the wood is dry? You know, don't mourn for me, mourn for yourself and for your children. You know, he predicted that, yes, these are difficult times, but times will be difficult until the end.
Well, you mentioned a couple of times about, you know, our consumerism, our obsession with stuff. And there seems to be an association in some circles that if you're a Christian, things are going to be great for you. You're going to be prosperous. You're going to have a good-looking wife, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case. That's, you know, and then when the economy collapses, you kind of go, really? What's going on here?
Yeah, really. I do think that is true, and I think that's been taught by TV preachers or by, you know, popular preachers, because we want that. You know, we're materialistic, and so when we find a Christian guy who says, it's good to be materialistic, we say, wow, you know, finally somebody who understands. You know, I certainly love Jesus, but I also love things, and you know, that's not what God promises. He says, as an example of the faithful and enduring suffering, consider the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. No one was more faithful than the prophets, and what became of them? Many of them died for their faith. So faithfulness does not equate to, you know, a good long life or a prosperous life. You know, these and people have made that connection, and I don't think it's found in the Bible. The most faithful people sometimes suffer the most in the, in the Scripture.
That is the truth. Let's go to James. Pastor, grab your Bible, Titus 1, verses 10 to 14. That's James' topic today. How are you doing, James? Thanks for the call.
I'm doing well, and I'd like for Pastor to take a look at that and read that for me. But first I'd like to say God bless Pastor, and may his tribe increase. I've listened to him under several moderators, all the way back to Pastor Spitz and Brother Chuck, and now you, Brother Roland, and he's always had good word and gospel, and I think he puts the best construction on things that kind of gives me a good perspective when I'm going back and thinking about these things later. But I like
you brought back a lot of memories, boy, going back to Pastor Spitz and all of those people, the voices of KFU over the years,
And but I'd like to know, is it the task or responsibility of elders and teachers to silence vain talkers and liars for giving testimonies that are not sound doctrine? And does Titus reflect proper and appropriate apologetics to confront this type of vain talking and giving testimony to not sound doctrine? And I'll hang up and listen as you kind of read and give me an application to that.
All right, James, thanks. Have a great weekend, by the way.
Thank you.
Pastor, over to you.
I think Paul, in his letter both to Timothy and to Titus, you know, into these young up-and-coming Christian leaders, he does address their leadership of the church, and he does in both of those, in all three of those books, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and in Titus, he spends a great deal of time talking about shun controversy, reject a factitious or an argumentative person after a first and second warning, know that such a man is perverted, is sinning, and is self-condemned. And you're right, there's just no place for that in the church, and most churches are held back not by their fight against anti-Christian forces. They're held back by the controversy that envelops their own family, you know, church controversy. And I think about the psalm too that says how good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in Christian unity. It's like dew that falls on Mount Hermon, you know, that Psalm 130, 133 or so. And yeah, I appreciate you bringing that subject up, because Christians have got to stop the internal fighting, and even from one church to another, and that sometimes bothers me about my heritage and my denomination. I know truth matters. I won't compromise truth, but I have occasionally said, you know, if they're preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, people are being saved there, and I'm a fan. I'm not a fan of everything they teach. You know, there are churches, and even callers previous have mentioned churches that have some things wrong, who teach things out of order. Nevertheless, they are preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. People are being saved. We have to encourage those churches, still enter into dialogue with them and try to focus on that which is right and that which is wrong. I'm not saying that even the smallest iota of God's truth is insignificant. It is not. It all matters. I want to be as faithful and as truthful as I can. But this infighting that the church is known for is one of the reasons why America has become more secular. They say, look at how these Christians behave toward one another. Jesus said, you will know them by their love. And I don't see that evidence in Christian congregations. I don't see that evidence as much as it ought to be, even from one church to another. You know, we get into this denominationalism and we bash other denominations, you know, and we paint them with a broad brush about doctrines that, you know, we believe they hold, when we don't know what that individual pastor may be teaching, or we don't know what a person in a certain fellowship may be believing. You know, I have people come to my church from every kind of Christian walk of life, and what I might suppose they believe because they've come out of a certain style of Christianity or a certain denomination, they don't necessarily believe those things. You know, they read the Bible, they believe it to be true. And even if they've been confused by those things, when you open up the Bible and you say, well, let's see what it says here, you know, they're willing to submit to those things. But even if not, I still don't think that we serve Christ's purpose by becoming antagonistic and demeaning of one another.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's continue on with Fred. Fred, good morning. Thanks for your patience and waiting. You're up next.
Oh, not a problem. I think I'm agreeing with you because it really doesn't matter what political party that is in office. It's really our job, excuse me, as Christians, just to proclaim the gospel, and it doesn't matter. You know, we might have a better opportunity with this man in office if things get worse. You know, sometimes we got to go down before people will look up. So if it causes people to, you know, to go through a more difficult time, a lot of times the only place that you can go is when you've got no other place to go is to look up to God. And that's the kind of way I see it. Maybe God is allowing, because I believe that everybody that's elected in office, I think my Bible says that that they are ordained by God. So I would have to say that this gentleman that we have as president has been ordained by God. I don't know if you'd agree with that or not.
Well, I think that's true, but let's not blame it on a man either. You know, our country tends to reflect the beliefs of the population. And,
oh,
I
agree. You know, the person that is in the office, I don't blame that person. Don't get me wrong, because it's the folks that put him there. So you're right there.
Yeah, and Pastor, you know, the very first of the 95 Theses, that the Christian life is a life of repentance. Well, sometimes people have to be driven to repentance, don't they?
And I'm not willing to concede that he's all bad either. You know, none of us have it all right. I don't have it all right. And, you know, God may actually bless our nation through this man. You know, even Cyrus, who was the Persian king, was used by God. He was not even a believer. You know, I had this question asked of me. It was kind of interesting. And in pre-election, you know, how could any Christian ever vote for a non-Christian, you know, meaning a Mormon in their idea? And I said, you know, whether he's a Christian or not, I haven't sat down and had a conversation with him. I know many Mormons. My son is a pastor in Idaho. It's Mormon country. And many do believe that they are Christian, and they hold basic Christian views. God will sort that out someday. But even if it's true that they are not a Christian, does not mean that God cannot use them to improve the world for the proclamation of the gospel. So, you know, through President Obama, America may get better. I don't know that it will. I don't know that it won't. I know that people have concerns. I understand their concerns. I have concerns as well. But, you know, this is the situation that exists. I'm going to be a Christian pastor to the best of my ability, a Christian friend to my neighborhood as best as I can. And, you know, you cast your vote and you live in this world, whether you're in this nation or another nation, and you know, things are outside of your control. Don't worry so much about what's outside of your control. Worry about what's within your control.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of times I've been reading this book by, if you're familiar with this book, Not a Fan, by Kyle Idleman. Are you familiar with that book?
I'm not familiar with that one, no.
No, a lot of times we'll find out who really are the fans of Jesus when we come through hard times and who are the followers. Sometimes we really find out that we're just fans. We're not really followers. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I do. And I now that you mentioned the book, I didn't hear you at first. Yeah, I do know the book, and I do think that a lot of people are fans, which is just a shortened version of fanatics. You know, they haven't deepened that relationship. You know, they just impose their own beliefs about, you know, who Jesus is on him without understanding who he really is and what he really asks of us.
Yeah, I think the real question is, are we going to take up our cross daily? And that's one of the points in the book. And and that's really either we're going to follow Jesus or we're going to be a fan. It's a whole lot easier to be a fan than a follower.
Yeah, we see that in St. Louis with all of our sports teams, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you so much for your time, guys. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Fred. We appreciate the call this morning. Have a great weekend. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Howard, this is Lois. You're up next, Lois. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling in regard to that man who called a couple of calls back who was so discouraged about the election results and everything.
David, yeah.
And I just want to say to that man, I think you are looking at things too much from a worldly perspective. I pray for people and myself all the time that God will give me his eternal perspective and to know that this world is not our home. He says my kingdom is not of this world. And He says to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and think of the suffering that Jesus went through for us. So, and he calls us to suffer also in this world. And sometimes it's our suffering that causes us to draw near to Jesus. It's not when we're in the good times and everything is going well for us and we've got our stock market and our portfolio and all those things going so well for us. It's when people are losing jobs. It's when the church is being persecuted. It's in times when things are failing. It just seems like we cannot take prosperity. It seems like when we have prosperity, the first thing we do is just like the children of Israel did. We forget all about God and think everything is about us and what we're doing and our little circle of endeavors that we have on our agenda, whatever it might be. But the main thing to remember is that we are the children of God. He says, I am your God. I have redeemed you. I have bought you. You were bought at a price. You are not your own. You belong to me. And whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. And then there's this God's admonition about prayer, that prayer changes things, that the earnest, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Jesus wants us to pray for our leaders and for we should ask for these things that we want from God and let him know that we are trusting in him and depending upon him and that the world is, no matter what was going on in this world, my goodness, look what it looked like for those poor Jews. Of course, they were not saved if they didn't believe in Jesus, but they had a chance to be saved, too, if they wanted to look to Jesus. But the one thing we have to remember is that Jesus is the ruler yet. And thank you for letting me have this time to talk on the air.
Lois, thanks. Great to hear from you. Have
God
a great weekend.
You. Bye-bye.
Pastor, what do you think?
It's just interesting to listen to her enthusiasm. You know, the Holy Spirit was just bubbling out of Lois. You know, you couldn't she didn't have to draw a breath. You know, she just was convicted about what she said. I wouldn't be so harsh with David. You know, it's okay to be in the kingdom of the left too. You know, we are in both kingdoms. It's okay. I think he was calling the wrong program. You know, I admire him for having political convictions. I admire him for wanting things to be different, and for working hard to make those things. You know, we cannot neglect that aspect of our life either, so I don't want to diminish his concern for that, but I agree also with Lois when you talk about the king of the right. Those things really don't matter. They don't change anything for us.
Yeah.
But don't diminish the idea that Christians are also citizens of a country, and they should fight for what they believe is best for that country and the conditions that exist there for the sake of the gospel. But nevertheless, in the other kingdom, the kingdom of faith, then nothing changes for us, no matter who's in office.
Yeah, you know, and to that point, Pastor Hauer, and an excellent point that it is, there's an article in Charisma magazine that's written by the news editor named Jennifer LeClaire, and she's sort of trying to figure out why God didn't answer the prayer of so many fervent Christians who prayed day and night and fasted and offered up supplications, and on she goes, and she's just trying to figure out why God didn't reward all those prayers with the right president.
You know, and Lois said something else, and you just stirred it in my mind again, too, you know, that God doesn't answer prayer. Is that right? Isn't God always faithful? You know, in a personal circumstance, you know, my son and his wife, my youngest son and his wife were newly married not very long ago, 4 years ago. And, you know, within 2 years, she was diagnosed with a malignant cancer that caused a double mastectomy when she was 27, 28 years old. And man, it just devastated them financially. It devastated them emotionally. It challenged them spiritually. And you know, there had to be a response to that. And you know, they put their home up for sale. They leased it out. They moved in with us to get their feet back up under them. And you know, they were so apologetic. I said, man, this is okay. You know, this is what families do. This is faith in action. You know. That wasn't a good thing. That was a bad circumstance. But through that, it gave me an opportunity to demonstrate faith. It gave them an opportunity to see how God provides. You know, so I will never say that was a good thing, but God did good things through that. And I think in every condition, there's an opportunity for faith. And sometimes the best opportunity is in difficult circumstances that no one would ever say are a blessing. They are not a blessing, but God can bring about good even through perverse times. You know, he promises, he can bring about good for everyone who is called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean that everything's good, but he brings about good through that time. So I agree with Lois on that. I think that was an excellent point.
505-7850-1800-730-2727. We have a few moments left with Pastor Stephen Hauer from St. John Lutheran Church in Ellisville, Missouri. Let's go to Lael. Lael, good morning. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good morning, Roland. Pastor. I was just going to say that, you know, we are really, Christians are really comforted by what the Lord is doing through us. Because here we are talking more and more about the things of his world, you know, right now in our lives. So I think the fact that we're stirred up and ready to talk to people in love is a good thing. We don't know they have the mind of God, thankfully. He, you know, he's God and we're creatures. So, you know, we don't know what he has in store, but the comfort that he's in control and that he gives us the will and the want to move forward in his kingdom. I think that it's kind of stirred up us in this life right now in our world.
Good point, man. I so agree with you. It is a good thing we don't know the mind of God, because that meant that God could be understood by me, and I don't, you know, I don't pretend to be very wise, so that would mean that God was not very wise, and so I'm very happy that he is greater than me. I think about, and this is probably a poor analogy, I've used it often, but you know, I have pets. I have a dog. My dog understands a minuscule amount of what I try to do for him and try to teach him, and yet there's a confidence, there's a faith in me, but man, there are times in which he doesn't have a clue. And I think, if my dog doesn't understand me and I'm functioning at a different level, how much more God, you know, when he deals with me, how much he must just shake his head and say, you know, okay, he's just a stupid animal, you know, he's not capable of understanding this, and yet he loves me, he provides for me, he takes care of me, and he accepts me as I am. But yeah, I don't understand the mind of God. I don't want to. That would mean that he is much lesser than I hope he would be.
Right, and he's so patient too. I mean, I am so blessed, and it's just such a sweet relief that he's so patient with us, that wanting all to come to salvation, no matter what route it takes in our world, that people are saved by that blessed gift of Christ. You know, what, and that's his purpose, to save people from ourselves, literally.
Yeah.
So.
Lael, thanks for the call. Have a great weekend.
You too, Roland. Thank you.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Howard, here's an email from a good friend, Jan, who's down in the Atlanta, Georgia area. She says, good morning. Just praising God for his people and his physical and literal world. Lois really blessed me with her testimony. Here's a question based on Matthew 23, verse 39. Jesus said, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Since he entered Jerusalem in Matthew 21, was he talking about the resurrection? Have a great and blessed weekend.
What was the reference again?
Matthew 23:39 and Matthew 21, and you've got all of 1 minute. Look at that.
Yeah, we know that they did physically see him again. I'd have to take a look at the Greek there and see exactly what he's meaning, but they would not coexist with him. They would not live with him again as they had lived with him until they celebrated in heaven with him the life that he intends for all believers to experience. So, you know, I think that was his intention, you know. And like I said, you know, just not having that scripture right in front of me or having the Greek right in front of me, I'd have to examine that verse.
Well, how about a short version? How about a short version of this? When Paul writes, I think it's in Philippians, to live as Christ and to die as gain, what does he mean?
I think in any condition, whether I'm alive or whether I die, you know, he even says that's far better, you know. But I am not without him in this world, you know, to live as Christ. For me to live is an opportunity to demonstrate Christ in the flesh, you know, Jesus with skin on, some Christians say. And that's good, you know, that's a challenge every day. It's invigorating in life. You know, I don't just live to pay my bills. I have a purpose in life, and that's to reflect Christ in my life. But to die, gain. You know, because then I'm with him face to face, and Paul said, I know that's far better, but to remain on is useful in this life, and I pray and I know that I will, he said. So, you know, either way, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's.
Thanks be to God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, as Jan writes in. Pastor Stephen Howard serves at St. John Lutheran Church in Ellisville, Missouri. I'll be out your way next week. My youngest is going to be part of an academic competition coming up there, I think, on Tuesday, so maybe I'll run into you out there.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Take care, my friend. All the best. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's it. Have a great weekend. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Carry that with you. God bless. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great time. Be safe. Bye-bye.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.